Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Sidekick.
Yarr!
Today is July 22nd, 2017, and this is episode 142, EVO 2017, and some news.
We're already on 142?
We sure are. We need to do something for 150. Maybe, we already did a Pokemon episode, shoot.
Yeah.
Well, something for us to think about. Anyway, welcome once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of the GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
This week, we're going to talk about last week's EVO event, as well as deep dive a few news stories that we have some thoughts on. We also wanted to let you know something we're very excited about is that we are working on a pair of retrospective episodes coming up. Hopefully in August, but it may be September. You know how we roll. We're planning a pair of episodes. We're going to look at Final Fantasy XI and Final Fantasy XIV and compare and contrast and track the development ups and downs of those games. It should be a really great time. We're really excited to be doing it, but it's also taking a little more prep time than most of the episodes we do, so please be patient.
By which you mean I should probably start playing 11 a little bit, more than the like 2 days that I played it 10 years ago.
Yes, you should have been doing that a long time ago. But first, as ever and always, we have our usual slate of follow-ups and news bits. Slaggy McWaggy, do you want to get us going?
Yes, we have 3 DLC mobile suit units that will be coming with pre-orders of Gundam Versus in North America. They are the ASW G08 Gundam Barbatos Lupus, BN876 Hot Scramble Gundam, which sounds like a delicious omelet or something.
Yeah.
And GN005 Gundam Virtue.
Now, this is interesting because the Hot Scramble Gundam, you know, basically, Gundam Versus was played at EVO. There was a tournament for it. Actually, a good buddy of mine over at Namco Bandai was part of organizing it, which is something I'm actually feel really blessed to be involved in, even tangentially, like knowing this person. But he was telling me that all of the people who are like competing for placement in like top 8 to compete on stage on camera, like everyone was using Hot Scramble. And sure enough, when the top 8 happened and was streamed, oh my goodness, Hot Scramble,
hot scramble everywhere.
You would have thought it was Denny's. People are getting moon over Miami and all that.
I was just gonna say, it's like when you go to the restaurant and you're like, I'll have the Hot Scramble, and then they're like, okay, what can I get you, sir?
Oh, you know, that sounds great. I'll have the hot scramble too. Yeah. You know, I actually recently imported Gundam Versus.
Does it come with this. Hot Scramble?
Well, it didn't, because I think it might have been a pre-order there as well. But I definitely didn't have Hot Scramble, because after watching EVO, I'm like, oh shit, I'm going to get on this Hot Scramble. And I couldn't, which sucks.
Well, this is you, and you double dip all the time, so you'll probably get Hot Scramble.
Yeah, I actually, so the thing is, I've been doing a ton of import gaming since our last episode. After we recorded that, I was basically like, you know what, I haven't been buying as many import games in the last month or two as I was in the months prior, so other than Switch games. So I basically, after EVO especially, but even the week before that, was just like, okay, what's out or coming out that I want to play? All right, pre-order, buy. So, and we'll get to this when we talk about what games we've been playing this week, but I've basically been playing all import games this week, and Splatoon. Gundam Versus, though, great game. I'm super enjoying it. I am almost certainly going to pre-order the North American release so I can get that Hot Scramble Gundam, because I really want to use it.
The more we talk about Hot Scramble, the more I want a Hot Scramble.
All right.
Also, the Gundam looks really cool, though. It's a cool-looking Gundam. Well, we have word from Bandai Namco that .hack GU last recode is getting a physical release in the Americas.
Oh, interesting. I thought for sure this would be a digital-only release in North America.
Well, it's a .hack title in 2017.
Exactly. But, hey, you know, physical release is cool. I like having these for my collection wherever possible. And, you know, supposedly we'll be playing this before too long.
Cool.
We also have word that Dragon Ball FighterZ has added 2 more characters. We have some nice high-resolution assets for them and everything. And these are Piccolo and Krillin. You know, they both look really cool. Obviously, they are mainstays of the Dragon Ball franchise at this point.
I mean, is it possible for Krillin to look cool?
Hey, come on now. You're mean. Either way, super excited about this, especially in light of, like, the recent arcs of Dragon Ball Super. These are both two characters that I think have been really revitalized, and I'm super excited to play them in this game.
Yeah, this game is probably one of the best anime games that I've ever seen, just in terms of how pretty it looks. And those Nier Ultimate games are pretty, but I mean, it's just like...
Well, I still think the Nier Ultimate games have the edge, especially like the newer, you know, Ultimate Ninja Storm 4. Like, it's that looks better than the show. Although, to be fair, so does Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yeah. Galgun's Ekoro is going to be coming to Mighty Gunvolt Burst on July 27th.
Ooh, this is exciting.
This follows the addition of... Who did they add?
Well, Mighty Gunvolt Burst has, you know, Mighty Number 9 and Gunvolt in it presently.
Right. I thought they added someone else already, though.
You might be mixing it up with the other game by Intic Creates that has guest characters going right now, Blaster Master Zero.
Oh, that's why.
And in fact, there is some crossover there on bonus characters, so I can understand why you would mix that up.
That's why I'm like, wait, I thought we talked about this one.
But, you know, Mighty Gunvolt Burst is a really great game. I think it's a better homage to classic Mega Man than Mighty Number 9 was, certainly. And much like we are seeing in the Blaster Master Zero bonus characters, Ekoro will be coming to Mighty Gunvolt Burst with her own abilities, her own storylines, and, you know, like, different, like, jumping mechanics and stuff. So it will be, like, a completely different game, and I think that's awesome. And, you know, again, they're following the same model as Blaster Master Zero, where there will be a two-week free download period, after which she will be a $2 paid DLC. If you don't have Mighty Gunvolt Burst yet, I can understand maybe you're trepidatious about Intic Creates, but you shouldn't be. If you like classic Mega Man games, you should definitely get in on this. It's good stuff.
Well, this is like the summer of Galgun, apparently.
Dude, right? And free DLC, that's always a plus.
Yeah. We have One Piece Unlimited World Red Deluxe coming to the Switch on September 29th. That was an update from just a September release window. So if you've been wanting to get monkey around on the Switch, your time will be coming soon.
Excellent. Sorry?
Monkey.
You know, and I wanted to just point this out. Rather than lumping this in normally the way we would with the rest of our release dates, I just wanted to note that in North America, this is going to be an eShop exclusive release. We got that information when we got confirmation of the date. The European release will be digital or physical, though.
Oh, interesting.
So this might be one to consider for importing.
Yeah, I guess if you want that physical, if you want to lick One Piece, which I guess there's some of the hot pirates in One Piece that I'd lick, but I don't know if I'm going to lick a Switch cart.
Moving
Zoro. On.
Zoro.
Have...
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were trying to move on from me being disgusting, but then you were being thirsty, too.
This is Game Buoy. We thirst. Come on, now.
We have the lineup revealed for EVO Japan 2018, which will take place January 26th through 28th in Tokyo. It is going to have Tekken 7, Guilty Gear Xrd, Rev 2, Kena Fighters 14, Blaze Blue Central Fiction, Super Smash Bros. Wii U, ARMS, and Street Fighter V.
For me, ARMS is the one that I'm really excited to see here.
Yeah, they just had a Comic-Con competition, apparently.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and some guy dressed up as Springman won, and he was looking pretty cute.
Oh, you know, I saw on my Twitter timeline earlier pictures of a Springman cosplayer that I was getting thirsty for. I wonder if it's the same one.
Yep, that's him.
All right. You know, I'm really excited about EVO Japan. I think this is going to be really cool. Super excited to see ARMS getting adopted by the fighting game community. You know, a lot of us had wanted ARMS to be present at EVO 2017 last week.
It's a little too fresh, probably.
It's just a little too fresh, exactly. But it'll be awesome if a competitive scene for that game really does pop up. I have my fingers crossed.
I want to see competitive Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Oh, there actually was a side table mat set up of Dragon Ball FighterZ at Evo last week. It was super hype. I actually just rewatched it today because Monarch Piratico was here and he hadn't seen them.
What, like of a early build or something?
Yeah, the demo build that has like 6 playable characters.
Oh, cool.
That they've had at all the conventions. So, you know, it doesn't have Mirai Trunks, it doesn't have Krillin and Piccolo, but it has the rest of the revealed fighters so far.
Excellent.
We also have word that Dissidia Final Fantasy NT will have a closed beta toward the end of this year, and registrations are now open. We will link you over at GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
To a Silicon Era news piece about this. They have a link to the sign-up page for the beta. I am already enrolled and trying to get in. If y'all try to as well, good luck to you. I hope to see you there.
Yeah, and if you already have a Square Enix membership account, then you're already one step closer.
One step closer?
Oh.
Yeah. We also have word here that Ni No Kuni 2 Revenant Kingdom has been delayed to January 19th, 2018. We got a very humble apology message from the CEO of Level 5, Akihiro Hino-san, who basically notes that, you know, they decided to delay the game a little bit to give it more development time so that they can deliver the full Ni No Kuni 2 experience to their fans. They are continuing to strive to provide a deep and satisfying single-player experience that their fans can look forward to enjoying.
Now, this is not going to have all the little Pokemon stuff going on, right?
I don't believe it's that kind of game at all.
Which is interesting, because to be fair, I didn't get to the end of Ni No Kuni 1. Maybe all the little yokai poke monsters or whatever they are all die or something, or go to the spirit world. But just interesting to see the sequel taking what seems like a very different spin.
You know, I'm glad for that. Ni No Kuni did nothing for me, so I'm excited that, you know, this game might do something for me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the art in these games is gorgeous, so.
Yep, absolutely.
Art in games.
Yeah, right? We have an update here. When Nicalis's release of Cave Story Plus hit the Switch last month, a lot of people were concerned because the game only had, like, the newer updated sprites that have been circulating in releases of this game for the last 6 or 7 years. A lot of people are used now to having classic graphics options, and, you know, with all of the new modes and new content in the Switch release of Cave Story Plus, a lot of people felt like if it had classic graphics options, this would be sort of the definitive Cave Story experience. If you're one of those people, well, you can jump on Cave Story Plus if you haven't already, because in August it will be getting a free update to add all of the classic graphics back into the game as a selectable option.
That's always a nice choice.
Yeah, you know, and I will say, you know, I've always been really critical of Nicalis, but they've been knocking it out of the park consistently on the Switch, and I actually think that they deserve some kudos for that. They continue to listen to the fans, and the fans, I think, continue to reward them for it.
Weren't kudos those, like, chocolate bars?
They were granola bars covered in chocolate, kudos. So they were sort of sold as, like, the healthy candy bar.
Yeah.
Except the problem is, when I was, like, 9 or whatever, I'd buy a box of 6 and eat all 6.
Yeah.
I'm just like, hey, I'm watching TV. Oops, there were 6 kudos.
Yep. So kudos to you, Nicalis.
We also have word that Taiko no Tatsujin Session de Doron Daga Gadon for PS4 is going to be getting an Asia territory release. It will be known as Taiko no Tatsujin Drum Session and will have English language options.
Oh, it's almost like we just talked about these sorts of releases in an import gaming episode.
Exactly. You know, so going to be very cool. As far as we know, it will have the same track list as the Japanese release, which for these kinds of games is pretty much always the sticking point. If that holds true, then I will probably import the Asian version over the Japanese version.
Yeah, I was going to ask, are you going to wait to, even if it means a little bit longer wait?
You know, I mean, I say that, but
you're just going to get both?
No, I will not do both. You know, I'll probably just do Japanese, because now I'm thinking about it, the Asian release probably would have an issue downloading DLC if I don't have one of the supported Asian territory PSN accounts.
And I mean, for Taiko,
and I have a Japanese
for Taiko, how much reading do you really need to do?
Well, for Taiko, I know the menus well enough, I've read through them enough times, playing Taiko in arcades in Japan and shit, like, I can read those menus, so I guess for me isn't really an issue.
Yeah, speaking of which, you'll be able to start importing that on October 26th.
That's for the Japanese release. Yes. Asian release will be sometime in 2017. Sometime this
year. We also have Patapon Remastered on PS4 on August 1st. Legend of Heroes Trails of Cold Steel is on PC on August 2nd. Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen on PS4 Xbone in Japan on October 5th. Windjammers on August 29th.
That is, of course, the re-release of the classic Neo Geo game for PS4.
Yes. And Street Fighter IV Champion Edition on iOS devices.
It's out now.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder if it has the touch bits, because I'm not familiar with this release of it. I wonder if it has, like, the touch bits that the 3DS version had, where you can just basically, like, touch screen fight.
I believe it does have options like that.
Which is kind of, I mean, you know.
You know, it's not how I want to play Street Fighter 4.
It's not how I want to play it.
But if there are people who do want to play that way, you know, I think more options are always better.
I think it's time for... I'm just jumping the gal gun here tonight, aren't I?
You sure are. Anyway, oh my god.
News. 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 Oh my god. News.
So the first piece of news we have here is one that I'm really excited about. We have the announcement of a new Nippon Ichi software game, but with a twist, it's also an old Nippon Ichi software game. This is the re-announcement of Makai Wars. This is, of course, the game that was originally going to be an all Nippon Ichi software crossover strategy game. It was going to be released on the PSP in 2004. Then it got announced for PS3 in 2005. And now it has finally been confirmed to have been canceled on PS3, an announcement that was only made a month or two ago. And it's now going to be a smartphone game. This is going to be releasing on iOS and Android, so, you know, please look forward to it. It appears to be very similar in style to what Nintendo has done with Fire Emblem Heroes. And in fact, it's kind of hard, for me at least, not to look at this and think, oh, Nippon Ichi's trying to take Nintendo's lunch. Because, you know, Nintendo's still pulling in $500,000 a day on Fire Emblem Heroes, they said.
Wait, $500,000 a day?
$500,000 a day on Fire Emblem Heroes, yeah. They're still making money hand over fist on that one.
So they're making like $180 million a year if you do the math, just from Fire Emblem?
I mean, I didn't do the math, but you did, so if that's what the math is, then yeah.
Wow. Well, we also have an announcement from developers Purewish, who are bringing their love adventure visual novel, Son of Memories, to PS4, PC, and Switch. The PS4 version will be out this fall. PC and Switch versions will come later.
Is it wrong that I kind of want to buy this on Switch and, like, encourage everyone I know to do the same so that when it, like, ends up selling not well but, like, better than expected, I can mail bomb the Dream Daddy guys and be like, see, there's an audience for dating sims on the Switch. Bring it over.
Well, is this one of the... because I'm looking at some of the art assets, and some of them are quite Senran Kagura, by which I mean ample bosoms. Is this the type of game that this is?
I don't believe it to be, like, actually Ero, but it is a little, like, Moe-focused.
Yeah.
But it's not actually Ero, as far as I know. I, actually, funny enough, I've actually been having some issues lately with, like, Moe culture and, like, sexy fan service culture. I was playing one of the import games that I bought last week, Blade Arcus from Shining, which is the fighting 2D fighting game that we've talked about here on the show over the years. And, man, the cover art for that game, like, the poor woman's waist would break. Like, her spine couldn't possibly support the assets she's been drawn with.
Yeah, this girl is basically chibi looking, but not for her tetas. So
yeah.
Anyway, Son of Memories is a North America and Europe release this fall. PS4, Switch, PC, some other time. Hopefully, not all about busts.
Ooh wee. We also have the very exciting news that we are going to be getting a PS4 remastered collection of some classic Grasshopper Manufacture games.
Ooh.
These are the visual novels The Silver Case and its sequel The 25th Ward. So The Silver Case is going to be a remaster, and The 25th Ward is going to be an HD remake. The package that they will be called for PS4 is The Silver 2425. This is going to be releasing in Japan on March 15th, 2018. I don't think we have any concrete data on a North American release other than the implication that it's coming.
Yeah. We also have the announcement from SNK that Samurai Showdown 5 Special is going to be coming sometime this summer, so I mean, probably within the next month or so, to PS4 and Vita. This is notable because pretty much every console release of this has been heavily censored. So this will be the
heavily
original
censored and literally broken.
So this will be, like, presumably as arcade perfect as possible on PS4 or Vita.
Yeah, super exciting stuff, definitely. I'm really stoked here.
Yeah, I know you're a big fan of Samurai Showdown.
I am. You know, I'm a big fan of all of the SNK, Neo Geo games, fighters, but Samurai Showdown has kind of always been my fave, and for me it's kind of my entry point into, like, the anime art style fighting games, which, you know, we now typically just call anime fighters, even the ones that don't have anime, like Blaze Blue does have an anime now. Guilty Gear, for example, still an anime fighter, and for me, my entry point into that fandom was Samurai Showdown, so I'm super stoked.
Excellent.
Indeed. All right. So,
well, I guess wrapping up the news on a fighting game announcement is probably a good transition point. It's almost like you did that on purpose.
Oh my gosh, who possibly would believe that? So, Evo 2017 happened last week, and there was some cool stuff announced, so we're not quite done with our news yet. But I want to talk about Evo itself a little bit before we get into the news. And then, you know, once we've talked about the news, I want to just talk about some unrelated and related news as deeper talking points. You still with me?
Yeah.
Brilliant. So, I'd like to start off by talking about the Evo matches that I watched. I believe you watched a lot of the same ones. Correct me if I'm wrong. I watched the Dragon Ball FighterZ matches. I watched the MVC3 matches. I watched the Tekken 7 matches. I watched the Guilty Gear Xrd Rev2 matches. I watched the Smash Bros. Wii U matches. Watched Blaze Blue Central Fiction. And I watched Street Fighter V.
Yeah, I saw mostly the Sunday stuff, because if you recall, we had a really bad heat wave.
Oh, yeah, no, and I actually, you know, a lot of the Saturday stuff was not stuff I was even necessarily interested in, and, you know, the earlier competition rounds I'm typically not quite as invested in.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry, this is no shade meant to King of Fighters 14 or Injustice 2 or Melee, but none of those are games I'm going to go out of my way on the weekend to watch people play over the internet.
Mm.
Sorry. That having been said, you know, Dragon Ball FighterZ looked great. Seeing it played at a high level for me really did sell that, like, this is going to be the next big Arc System Works game, which I'm really stoked for. You know, back in the day, they had the licensed Hokuto no Ken game, which actually did get some side play at Evo this year. I saw some pretty funny clips where basically, because, you know, that game's broken AF. I saw someone doing, like, an infinite combo on his opponent in an official Evo match, and basically the guy who's getting infinite comboed is literally, like, pulling out his wallet and offering his competitor money to, like, please just stop doing what you're doing.
Oh,
right?
Buddy.
Oh, man. But Dragon Ball FighterZ, by all means, looks to be a well-balanced game already. Really frantic fighting, but still with, you know, that sort of high-level play that you expect from an Arc System Works
fighting
game.
Wait, a Dragon Ball game with frantic fighting?
For MVC3, you know, I'm actually getting kind of bored of MVC3 on the competitive level. I feel like we're at the point now where the game is so well-known that every match is just going to go the way that it's predicted. Like, 9 times out of 10, it's so rare for there to be, like, a real upset. All of the matchups are known, mapped out, and it's kind of become less interesting for me. What do you think, Slaggy?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, Marvel versus Capcom competitive plays, like, it's cool to see, like, oh, you know, the different, it's cool, it's, like, I mean, I like watching Marvel versus Capcom, but I I don't get excited about it. Good thing there's a new Marvel vs. Capcom game coming out that looks great.
Oh, buddy.
Marvel vs. Capcom makes me think of, you know that meme going around where it takes, like, the fast food restaurants and, like, derps up the names, like, Subway is Spubby E. Freef.
Okay, see, I thought you were going to talk about the meme that does that, but for sodas, you were going to call Pepsi Beppis.
Beepis.
Oh, man. You know, I think my thing with MVC3, and I'm not trying to be rude, but, you know, it's a big deal that basically MVC3 was in competition with some other games for a donation drive to, like, win the slot that MVC3 was played in. MVC3 won. And I guess I'm at the point now where I just feel like maybe it would have been better if it hadn't.
Mm.
And that's really my struggle. As far as Infinite goes and being basically Beppis, you're not wrong. You know, one of my favorite fighting game characters of all time was announced at EVO for MVCI. And so now I'm kind of like, well, now I want to play it just because I want to revisit that character.
Mm-hmm.
But watching videos of it, and I rewatched some today because it's been super hot today. I've been basically non-functional but for sitting in front of the TV watching video game stuff. And it's like, okay, well, that character still looks really good, but most of this game looks low budget. All of the, like, changes to make it more acceptable sound off-putting. I'm just really, really struggling to get any kind of hype for MVCI, and it seems like I'm not alone, particularly in the light of Dragon Ball FighterZ really showing how 2D licensed fighters can go.
Yeah, it might be Marvel's time to rest for a bit, just at least in MVC.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, let MVC rest, put together a new Darkstalkers game. Like, I think we could all agree that would be cool. Put together a new Rival Schools game. Hell, you know, put together a new Power Stone game.
You will never stop pushing for a new Rival Schools game.
Goddamn right I won't.
You just want to date the swimmer again.
Nagare. Yeah, that is correct. Let's see, you know, I also watch Tekken 7. Tekken 7 remains one of those games where I enjoy playing it. It's really fun and pretty, and I actually really get into the character customization stuff in that game. But watching it on a competitive level doesn't do a lot for me, largely because, like, the skill ceiling is so weird in that game that, like, I can never tell if someone's doing something really basic or really advanced.
A lot of the Tekken 7 I watched was like, oh, he got them into a corner. Oh, lucky Chloe's in the corner. Oh, she's stuck in the corner. There she goes.
Womp, womp.
So it's kind of like, is there anything going on with this game besides nobody puts lucky Chloe in the corner?
Oh, man. But, you know, now we're getting to stuff I'm a little more excited to talk about, you know, because, again, I am anime fighter trash. Guilty Gear Xrd Rev 2 was super fun to watch competitively. You know, I love the sort of tactics that go on in this game. Things get really competitive in terms of, like, one-upsmanship, and, you know, the whole match seemingly can really depend on, you know, high-level execution of just a handful of moves. And it always, to me, has, like, this really incredible sense of tension. I got super invested. What do you think about Guilty Gear Xrd on the Evo stage?
I saw more Blaze Blue, but I mean, I feel the same way kind of with both of them. I mean, I know that they have their differences, but, I feel like even a less skilled player, like, it's still really fun to watch either of these games being played just because, like, they're so over the top. And so, you know, it makes it exciting to watch. So, as someone who's not as, you know, skilled at Guilty Gear or Blaze Blue, I can't really speak to, like, oh, what they're doing is really, you know, technically impressive, but it's still, you know, part of what makes these two enjoyable is, like, the spectacle of it. So
are you going to let me help you learn how to play Dragon Ball FighterZ when it comes out?
Yeah, but I get to be Piccolo.
Okay, fair. You can be Green Daddy.
Yes.
You know, we also, of course, got Super Smash Bros. For Wii U. I always have a tremendously fun time watching Smash on the tournament stage. I think Smash 4 is a really fun game to watch at that level. I know not everyone does, and, you know, certainly that's fine. What did you think, Slaggy?
Yeah, I thought that the competition was really great this year. A lot of characters like Bayonetta was surprising to see in, you know, high level.
Well, you know, I wasn't surprised to see that because Bayonetta is a really strong character. A lot of people, in fact, think maybe too strong.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I was surprised because I thought, like, she kind of had a bad reputation or whatever, you know? But, you know, it's
yeah,
nice.
And, you know, it was actually, ultimately, it was a Bayo that won. Salem took that over Zero, who Zero, I will say, was playing Diddy Kong in a way that has made me completely reevaluate that character.
Yeah, that was a shock because Zero's Diddy is, like, nuts. He's basically, you know, one of the best players in the world, but the fact that...
Yeah,
Bayo,
and losing this does not change that, let's be clear.
I guess his coconut gun didn't fire in spurts enough. No, but I love I love watching Smash, I love playing Smash, and I think, you know, just now that I'm a little more knowledgeable about Smash, seeing, like, what they're doing and, like, you know, see, like, I mean, I still couldn't, like, jump off the edge and then, like, recover and stuff. I'm not that good, but, like, it enhances my enjoyment of it. And I have to say, like, it seemed like there was a really diverse group of competitors for Smash.
Yeah, yeah. I that's something I really like and appreciate about Smash generally. You know, we have people from different countries all making it to the top eight. People of, you know, all kinds of different skin colors and backgrounds. I just think it's so rad. And, you know, compared to Melee, because that also applies to Melee, the Smash games in particular, just incredible how diverse the people playing them are. It brings me such joy. But an even a next step thing that makes me really excited about Smash for Wii U that doesn't apply to Melee is that you look at the top eight, all eight of the top eight players were playing different characters.
Yeah.
You know, you watch Melee games and it's going to be Fox. It's going to be like, what, like Falco. Occasionally you'll see like a Peach or a Samus.
And then HBox will come in and do...
Jiggly. And that's basically
just
it.
A troll.
Here, you know, we saw Bayo, we saw Diddy, we saw Fox, we saw Cloud, we saw Samus, we saw Sonic, we saw Sheik, we saw Rosalina. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just really cool that we get to see so many different characters in Smash 4 being competitive, performing at that level. And if you, you know, go down the list a little deeper to some of the higher placements... Higher, lower, it's confusing when talking about tournament format. You know, Ryu was pretty high at 9, as was DK, also Mewtwo. We also had a Ness pretty high up there. We even had a Duck Hunt Dog in the top 20. We had a
Duck Hunt Dog?
We had a Villager in the top 20. We had a Luigi and Lucario in the top 20. So I think it's really cool. You know, we actually have this game, Smash, where all of these different characters are viable enough to place meaningfully.
But I think one of the things, and I mean, this might be my Nintendo fanboy coming through again, but, like, I mean, yes, we have some characters who play very similar to each other, like, you know, Bowser and Ganondorf. There was a Bowser in, I don't know if it was the loser's bracket off the top of my head, but there was some Bowser play. Ooh, the internet loves Bowser play.
LOL.
But that's exciting for me because Bowser's one of the characters that I don't play seriously enough to say, like, that I would main him, but, I mean, Bowser's one of my go-tos, so that was really exciting, really interesting to see someone play it differently, but, and it might just be, like I said, my bias, but I feel like Smash, compared to any of the other fighters, each character overall plays so differently from the other ones, that it's like, oh, you know, Cloud is doing this, this, and this, but then Kirby is doing this, this, and this, you know, compared to, you know, like, oh, well, these characters kind of all kick punch, it's all in the mind.
Yeah.
Like I said, that could be my inexperience with other fighters, but, you know, you think about something like Tekken, even Street Fighter, they're mostly kicking punching, Hadoukening, and then you've got, like, Vega with the stabby claws, which is why I like him.
Anyway. Super, I really enjoyed Super Smash Bros. You could call me a Super Smash fan, I guess. Let's see, we also had BlazBlue Central Fiction. Again, you know, a lot of what I said about Xrd applies here. I will note, however, Central Fiction at high level is so technical. Like, watching some of those players set up traps, like, I'm a reasonably sophisticated BlazBlue player. Like, I have gone to Japanese arcades and played and won and had a really great time facing off against randos and, you know, taking on all comers. But I watched what they were doing at Evo and I'm like, holy moly, I can't even begin to think that way. It just really blew my mind, but also made me super hype.
It BlazBlue your mind?
It did, yes. It actually, I was so hype, I actually bought a copy of BlazBlue Central Fiction that weekend. I really, really enjoyed watching it, and it got me incredibly hyped to put a little more time into Blaze Blue. So what did you think of Blaze Blue, Slaggy?
Yeah, I like watching Blaze Blue. I mean, again, I could never perform on that level, but, you know, I like Blaze Blue and Guilty Gear. I still have to admit it's kind of hard for me to tell the difference still entirely, just because I still haven't really dug into either one seriously enough, but I like them both.
Excellent, excellent. All right, well then let's wrap this up. Let's talk about Street Fighter V. There was some incredible Street Fighter V play. Holy crap. It ultimately came down to Punk, who was playing Karen, and was it Tokido playing Akuma? And, you know, Tokido had a long, long journey to the Grand Finals, ended up in losers, then, you know, got to Grand Finals and pushed for a reset, and ultimately won as Akuma in Street Fighter V for EVO on the grand stage.
Yeah, didn't Salem come from loser's bracket, too, for Smash?
Oh, yeah, I believe you're right, yeah.
Yeah, so the underdogs kind of this year.
Yeah, I'm always a fan of those upsets because it just makes for such good drama. Ultimately, though, some really great play. Once again, got me back on the Street Fighter V bus, which seems to happen every freaking year at EVO. Ultimately, though, I really liked it. I love watching Street Fighter V at high level. I know a lot of people, especially a lot of people who aren't, like, dedicated fighting game fans, think Street Fighter V is a complete flop. Well, and that's fine, of course.
You described Street Fighter V to me once as, like, Street Fighter for, like, hardcore fighting game players, right?
Well, yeah, you know, it's like the way that Super Mario Bros. 2 was sold as, like, Super Mario Bros. For super players. Street Fighter V is kind of Street Fighter for super players to me. At that high level, I think it's an incredible game. For those of us that aren't at that high level, it's maybe a little less perfect. But
I think it really does
hit the mark on that high level.
I think where maybe Street Fighter V, but I mean, you know, it closed out EVO, right? So, I mean,
yeah.
You know, so it's starting to not be so damned, I would say. But I think even though, because I feel like wasn't Street Fighter IV kind of poo-pooed a little bit upon its release?
That is a good point. Yes,
I mean,
it
I
was,
that
and then it became the cat's pajamas.
That probably happens a lot. But, I mean, Street Fighter IV, I think, for a lot of people, is, like, beloved at this point. I mean, I think
that's a fair statement.
I still think it's a really solid game. I guess everything since 2, though, probably people, every time there's a new Street Fighter, because nobody likes 3 except you, right? Maybe Seawolf Jason.
Are you kidding me? All of the hardcores love Street Fighter III now.
You know,
at the time, it was super hated, but now everyone loves it.
That's what I mean. At the time when these Street Fighters come out, I guess we just haven't seen anything. I mean, 4 probably the first one since 2 to really be, like, you know, universally loved, maybe. I don't know. Like, just in terms of, like, by a more casual and serious group of players, maybe. Well, that being said, you know, it's nice to see Street Fighter V get its time in the spotlight. And, you know, just seeing any of these games at high-level competitive play is quite something to see.
Absolutely. So let's talk about some of these announcements that were made at EVO this year. Of course, the first one, a pretty big deal, Tekken 7 got its second DLC character announced. And as a lot of the early leaks had indicated, it was another guest character. You know, the rumor going around was that we were going to get 3 DLC guest characters. It certainly seems like that might be the case. This one is Geese Howard from Fatal Fury and King of Fighters. And I actually think that his design and his mechanics translate really well to Tekken 7. What do you think, Slaggy?
Yeah, I mean, I also have some thoughts that are not appropriate for this podcast.
Well, why don't you state them in as appropriate of thoughts as you can?
I would say that a lot of gay men on the internet probably would want Geese Howard to do something with those big beefy arms.
Ooh-wee. Let's see. We also.
I think it's cool. Sorry. Tekken seems to be getting, like, all these little crossovers, so to speak.
Well, yeah, because, you know, they also have Akuma.
Yeah.
So.
It's kind of funny that, like, Tekken seems to be, like, friendly. But, I mean, I guess, you know, Harada-san, like...
Harada-san is everybody's friend, okay?
Yeah, and he's kind of daddy, too. But, yeah, that's true. I guess Harada-san is really... I guess really, Namco Bandai is kind of everyone's friend, too.
Oh, absolutely.
When you think about it. But it's kind of funny to see Tekken is the series that brings fighting franchises together.
Right. Well, see, we also got the announcement officially of Trunks in Dragon Ball FighterZ. I believe we actually talked about that previously because we did hear about this in a magazine several weeks ago. But it was nice to get video of him being played. We also got the announcement that there will be a beta for Dragon Ball FighterZ. It's going to be featuring 9 playable characters. Since we now know of 9 playable characters, I'm going to assume that those are the 9, like the 6 from the demo, and Trunks, and Piccolo, and Krillin.
Oh, that's exciting.
Closed beta registrations are going to be starting on July 26th, so keep your eyes peeled. We will definitely let all y'all out there know via social media when the beta registrations go up, and hopefully we all get in and can enjoy Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Excellent.
We also got to see the official announcement of Arika EX. This is, of course, the game made by Studio Arika. They had sort of indicated that the April Fool's joke game that they made for April Fool's, we heard recently, like, oh, maybe that is going to be a real game. We got the real announcement. It is a game. It's going to be on PS4 in 2018. It's going to be getting a simultaneous worldwide release. And some of your favorite non-Capcom-owned Street Fighter EX characters are going to be returning for this game.
Like
most particularly, Skullomania.
I'm like, I'm not too familiar with Street Fighter EX, but just seeing Skullomania, I'm like, he is my new best friend. Sorry.
There also is going to be a beta for this game as well. It'll be taking place at the end of 2017 on PS4. Please look forward to it. Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite got the announcement of Jedha Dolma as a new playable character. Jedha is, of course, the Lord of Vampire from the Darkstalkers franchise. Typically most known for his incredible set of attacks where he would cut himself and then bleed on you to damage
you. Wow.
Or, like, slash his wrist and then, like, a bunch of blood claws would come out of the gash wound.
That seems a little bit too on the point.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It is toned down to be a little less visceral in MVCI, but I still think it looks really rad and super spooky. And watching the way that he was played in the announcement, and then they did, like, an exhibition match, and, you know, he still looks incredibly strong, sets up really cool traps and zoning techniques. I'm super excited, and that character inclusion might be the reason for me to keep my MVCI pre-order in place.
Yeah, well, what's funny is that, I mean, I know you love Darkstalkers, like, I'm not bashing Darkstalkers, but they're gonna put a Darkstalkers character in, but yet they're claiming that people don't know who the X-Men are.
No, you know, I get that, and I've seen that online, but let's be real.
We all know why there aren't
X-Men characters coming. Yeah, we know the tea.
Disney trying to kill it off so that Fox will give it up.
Basically.
And then we're going to see, when the inevitable happens, we're going to see the X-Men DLC pack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Let's see, we also here have the announcement of a new character for Blaze Blue Central Fiction. This is the Kitty Samurai Jubei.
Oh,
right. He is so cute and looks so brutal. I am really stoked for this, and I won't have to wait too long because he's supposed to be added to the game this summer. And summer ain't got that much more time to go.
Yeah, pretty much.
What did you think of the announcement of Jubei?
I am jubilant.
Oh, well done. I mean, he's literally a kitty holding a samurai sword. So, like, how can you not be into that? We also got a cool Blaze Blue announcement in the form of Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle, which is going to be an Arc System Works crossover tag-based fighting game, which is going to feature characters from Blaze Blue, Persona 4 Arena, Undernight Inbirth EXE, and the characters from Ruby. So this is kind of a big deal, I think, you know, that Arc System Works is doing their own crossover, and everyone I saw online was screaming over this announcement. Slaggy, what do you think?
I'm really excited to see how this will play in action, because, you know, I really enjoy Persona 4 Arena a lot. It's really cool to see the Ruby characters. I haven't watched any Ruby, but, like, I've been hearing a lot more hype over the past year or so. I know that they just started a Japanese dub of it, so I think that's kind of why there's maybe a resurgence. So,
well, Ruby is huge in Japan, so that's not that big of a surprise.
But, you know, these crossover games are always really cool, so...
I'm excited to see one coming out of Arc System Works. I'm wondering if we'll get a Guilty Gear character or two, maybe as, like, guest characters or something.
You would almost think so.
Yeah, right? Like, an Arc System Works crossover with no Guilty Gear at all? That just seems weird. So, the last announcement we got was that a Final Fight character is going to be added to Street Fighter V as DLC. This is Abigail. You're probably most familiar with Abigail as one of the giant male brawlers that you would fight in the streets of Final Fight. Member of the Mad Gear gang and all of that. Something funny, though, is that in the Street Fighter V reveal trailer, Capcom, in typical 2017 Capcom fashion, actually made an error, and the build of the game that all of the footage is from is glitched out so that the character is much larger than he's actually supposed to be, right? It's just like, dude, I actually feel bad for Capcom at this point.
Yeah.
I guess, Abigail, the thing is, he's only supposed to be as big as he is in this trailer when his V-trigger is active. Like, that's his V-trigger ability, is that he becomes huge and really difficult to avoid. But in this trailer, he's just that size all the time.
Oh.
Right?
At this point, we have, like, a lot of Final Fight characters in various Street Fighter games at this point, right?
Well, yeah, but, you know, Final Fight actually started life as a Street Fighter sequel, so it's not really that surprising for them to take place in the same world.
Yeah.
You know, the Street Fighter Zero or Alpha games had a ton of Final Fight characters, too. Characters like Guy and Cody, who are almost better known as Street Fighter characters now, were the original playables in Final Fight. Hagar, obviously, right up there, too, so...
Poison, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And even, isn't Rolento in in some of them?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
so
cool. It was kind of like the same way that, like, SNK kind of did that, but I guess I'm kind of getting off topic.
So that's about it for our Evo discussion. I want to ask you, Slaggy, what did you think of Evo this year?
I had a good time. I mean, despite the really bad heat wave that we had here in the SS Game Buoy area vicinity, I think as I learn more about these games and their intricacies, it makes it more, like, I'm starting to get kind of the whole, like, idea of, like, esports as, and, you know, we had it on, was it ESPNU, like, the college one or whatever?
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, you know, like, esports starting to be, like, on actual sports channels and stuff. I mean, I get it, like, I actually joked, like, oh, you know, we should have, like, a Super Bowl party, but I guess it's a good thing we didn't plan on that because, that heat wave was just too much, but...
You know, if Evo Japan is streamed like this, I will probably do that for Evo Japan, because that'll be
right
in January.
That's right around the Super Bowl, yeah.
And, yeah, that'd be a good time in terms of the expected temperatures. That'd be a good time to have people over.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm enjoying watching, I mean, especially stuff like Smash, where... but there was even one or two Tekken fights where it was, like, really close, and then, like, you know, it was down to, like, that final match. And so I was, like, even kind of on the edge of my seat for Tekken, which I wouldn't expect to be sane.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right, well,
So I'm looking forward to Evo Japan, and then by next Evo, like, I'm hoping that I'll be less of a fighting game noob that I've been, you know, my whole life. So it's,
We'll get you there,
buddy. It's fighting game boot camp time. Buoy boot camp.
Hey, man, you watch out. I'm going to make it happen. Let's see. So we also have some news here we wanted to deep dive. The first one is actually Evo adjacent, and I really just wanted to talk about it and get your take on it. This is word out of Evo that ESPN actually asked a Street Fighter player, Ryota Inoue's character, Cammy. I'm sure that you can imagine the problem with Cammy. You might be familiar with... Inoue-san as Kazunoko. Basically, ESPN actually, after a round as Cammy, ESPN was basically like, please change this character's costume. We can't have this on TV due to broadcasting standards. Of course, you know, obviously it's a little bit of a tricky situation here, but to be fair, that thong leotard that Cammy wears, pretty
interesting.
It's basically
like it's basically butt floss.
Right?
Which I'm not even, like, clothes policing or anything. One interesting perspective that I saw, and it wasn't trying to be like, oh, you know, double standards or anything, is that, like, well, ESPN shows, like, IRL beach volleyball and stuff, where, you know, they're basically wearing bikini bottoms and sports bras and stuff. So, I mean, but to be fair, Cammy's...
Yeah, but I think there's also a whole different situation here when we're talking about, you know, just realistic clothing for a competitive sport and mm-hmm. sort of the male gaze involved in a game that's created to have this content to pander sexually. Because
yeah.
I think you're lying to yourself if you say that Cammy's costume isn't intentionally revealing to pander to some of those fan service sensibilities.
Yeah.
Whereas with, you know, women's volleyball, it just, I mean, what are you going to wear if you're out on the beach in
That's
the sun
true.
And need that mobility? So, you know, I guess, another thing I want to note, the Smash Brothers competition, that was streamed on Disney XD, or not even streamed, that was literally aired on TV on Disney XD. One, you know, the winner of that was Bayonetta. So, you know, we had Bayonetta doing all of her sexuality stuff on Disney XD. Of course, I don't want to see any of that stuff removed. I don't want to see any of it edited or censored. I do think
yeah,
that
please
some
don't fuck with the witch.
Default costume considerations should be considered for these situations. And that's really what I'd like to ask your thoughts on, Slaggy. I've seen a lot of writing about, you know, maybe if fighting games and esports want to be taken more seriously, you know, we need to start having an eye toward how it looks to have these kinds of characters front and center. You know, does it undercut the idea that this is a high form of competition, that this is demanding and worthy of the respect of viewers? Do you think those ideals are undercut by having this content, you know, having Cammy's butt floss in your face? Does it undercut the idea that this is a serious competition?
I mean, it might just come from my perspective as a queer man. Like, I'm not distracted by Cammy's butt floss. I'm not watching. I mean, I'm not even watching for, like, ooh, even as much as I was, like, LOL, Daddy Geese Howard or whatever. Like, you know, if I'm watching competitive gaming, I'm trying to watch the gaming. But, you know, I guess an interesting thing is that, like, you know, with the majority of these games, like, you know, fighting games being Japanese developed, are the Japanese developers going to care? I mean, I'm not saying that to be, like, ignorant or something. Like, I mean, we've heard, although I guess, I feel like there was something related to, I don't think it was a Dead or Alive game, but some developer was talking about, like, oh, well, like, you know, we had to think about our perspective of Western gamers, then, you know, a certain subset of the gaming community thought it was censorship, blah, blah, blah. So I guess we do have, you know, Japanese developers starting to think about that, which they can't pin what game it was about, but or if it was necessarily a fighting game. But yeah, I mean, does Cammy need to have butt floss? No. Does it distract me? No. Could Capcom and other companies, you know, do a little bit better at not sexualizing their characters so much? Yes. Or just, you know, like, I mean, if it's that big of a deal, I don't know why they can't have, like, a tournament build where you just don't have butt floss even selectable. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, slippery slope, all that, I get it. I guess I just wish that costumes like Cammy's butt floss would maybe be, like, first alternate. Like, and not even because I find this material detestable or anything. I don't. That's Cammy's default costume. It has been for years. I think it's cool. I don't want to see it go anywhere. But I do think, you know, I talked to my mom. I'm talking about, oh, yeah, no, I'm watching this video game competition. It's on ESPN if you and Dad want to turn it on, you know. And then that comes up and, like, oh, I don't want them to think I'm sitting here having some alone time to Cammy or something. Like,
they're like, we thought you were a gay man.
Right? I guess
my problem... Are you going to give us grandchildren now?
The funny thing is, Bayonetta in Smash is one. I've seen these two characters in these two situations brought up together a lot. I actually had no problem with Bayonetta on Disney Channel, whatever, and that was fine. There's something about the gratuitousness of Cammy's costume, though, that for me, for whatever reason, it's like the old adage, like, I can't really describe to you the difference between porn and art, but I know it when I see it. And I guess that's how I feel looking at Cammy, is just like, it no, this like her... is designed to be sexy. This is not designed to be, like, a cool design that speaks to her character.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess the other flip side is, if you're gonna put Cammy in butt floss, then put, like, Cody in butt floss, too, or something.
Now, see, you say Cody, and you I'm say, just sitting here like...
Zangief. Make Zangief...
We already have Zangief in little tiny shorts. I mean...
They could be tinier.
Could they? I'm not sure that's as true as you think it is. We also have, you know, characters like Gil, obviously. I mean, anyway, I'm going to move forward. But we do have some Street Fighter characters that ain't wearing a whole lot, who are on both sides of the two ends of
At
the gender
point,
spectrum.
At this point, just make them all nude. All
right. Hey, that's fine. Bodies are nude, not something to be ashamed
nude
of.
Nude fighter.
Just maybe also, you know, don't linger in such a creepy way on the butt floss. That's all. I guess that's my issue, is that the camera does linger in a suggestive way.
And I mean, you know, her background was being like a secret assassin for the British government, right?
Being a secret assassin for many different parties, yes.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, Shadaloo, yeah, but, I mean, is that standard issue? I mean, I guess...
I mean, can't imagine.
Like, I don't know. Like, it is a very slippery slope, because I also don't want to be like, oh, policing women's bodies, you know, because to me it almost like I definitely see where, like, you know, there's the male gaze and it's problematic. But then also it's, I think of, you know, like when middle school girls have to cover up because the boys are too distracted.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I would just feel differently if the people making Street Fighter weren't a bunch of men.
That's true. This would be a really interesting thread to pick up on our eventual discussion about issues affecting women in gaming, and seeing how some female gamers interpret this sort of thing.
Potentially. All right. Well, anyway, Let's also talk a little bit here. We have some interesting news out of Japan, where basically Switch is still in such high demand that people are lining up, and did in fact line up this past week for the release of Splatoon 2. People were lining up at like Yodobashi and Akihabara, like over 3,000 people lined up for a Switch when the store only had 250 units. So they had to set up a lottery for the chance to buy one, which is, to me, just ludicrous. The crazy thing is, though, and I'm sorry, I'm trying not to use the word crazy, generally speaking, it's a little ableist, but the thing that's really ridiculous to me about this is, you know, this isn't just in Akiba. I saw a ton of photos from various rural Toys R Us's, even out in, like, Osaka, where they're, you know, typically easier to get stuff like this, and there are still lines wrapping around the building multiple times. So again, thousands of people at these each individual locations trying to get their hands on, you know, one of the only a couple hundred units that each store got and allocated to them for the release of Splatoon 2. Just absolutely nuts. What do you think about this, Sluggy?
I can't even imagine. Like, I remember thinking that of the 20 Nintendo Wiis at Walmart back in 2006. That, like, oh, I'm almost like number 20 in line. Am I gonna make it? I can't even imagine being like thousands deep in line. Like, I just can't even imagine. But I mean, hey, I guess that's good that the demand's there. You know, I don't know. Even with the increased production that they've been talking about, I don't know if they'll be able to keep up with that demand. But I mean, that's good, I guess, that people are gonna keep wanting Switch and.
Well, I want to say, you know, something that I want to talk about here for the briefest of moments. Splatoon on the Wii U, huge hit in Japan, sold literally millions of units,
yeah,
which no one expected. There was a lot of concern in the gaming world that Splatoon 2, by virtue of coming so soon after the first one, being on such a new platform that a lot of people don't have yet, a lot of people felt it was a high probability failure. You know, it would do respectably, but not achieve those numbers of the first game. This, to me, seeing, you know, thousands of people turning out to compete for 250 consoles, this almost makes me feel like we might be hearing next month that in its first month, Splatoon 2 became the biggest selling current gen console game in Japan.
Oh, probably.
You know, that title currently... Well, that title currently actually goes to Final Fantasy XV on PS4.
Oh, wow.
Which is one of the only current-gen games in Japan to have sold over 1 million units just in Japan. I get the feeling Splatoon 2 is going to cross that mark the moment there are more than 1 million Switches in people's hands in Japan. This is the rare instance, like Breath of the Wild here, where I think in that first month it was like, this has a more than 100% attach ratio. I think Splatoon 2 is going to do that again. And I think that is just remarkable.
Well, I mean,
are your thoughts?
I mean, there was a reason that the Nintendo Big Band, the Nintendo Rock Band, spent so much time playing Splatoon music during
absolutely.
Stream. I remember you're like, really? I like Splatoon, but really? They're playing more Splatoon music?
I will say, you know, playing Splatoon 2 this weekend so far, the music is so good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. I have not had a chance to pick up Splatoon 2 yet, but really looking forward to it. I liked the Splatfest, or whatever. This global
it was actually
fire,
both.
Test
it,
fire.
It was a Splattest Splatfest.
Oh, I think the one that I played about a month ago or whatever wasn't a Splatfest yet.
Let's see. So we also have a new trailer for Kingdom Hearts 3. This is, of course, incredible news for so much of us. But the thing I really
How
wanted to talk about here... I had some feelings, you know, particularly since I've recently been all about the Kingdom Hearts replays and the HD remixes. I've been revisiting them. The thing for me is we're finally getting our Toy Story world that we were supposed to get like 10 years ago.
Hey, Toy Story graphics on a Sony console.
But the end of the trailer pegged the game as a 2018 release. I personally believe this for so many reasons. The primary being, you know, the game has been in solid development for a few years now. Obviously, when it was announced, it wasn't in actual development yet. A lot of people super mad about it, making constant jokes. But we now know that, you know, even while Final Fantasy XV was still ongoing, that at the time Nomura-san was removed from 15, it was to head up the development team of Kingdom Hearts 3, in part. So we know that that development team has been working for years on this now. So it makes sense to me. You know, by the time 2018 rolls around, it'll
also
have had a dev team on it for 4 years.
You know, this came out at the D23 Expo, which, you know, was the past weekend as well, and I feel like with release dates, Disney does not fiddle-faddle around with that.
Well, and that's the second point, is that Disney, at some point, it was inevitable, was going to step in and say, we need this product out by this date, or we are not doing this no more. It was inevitable that that was going to happen. And in retrospect, that's what I think Squeenix pulling Nomura off of 15 was really about. I think someone at Disney said, we haven't had a mainline game in how many years now? This needs to change because technically we own this IP and maybe it's time we start giving it to someone else. I truly believe that's what happened. It's pure speculation. But what I really want to take the next step on is that Nomura did a really great interview with GameSpot. You know, and he talked about how people are always making jokes about, you know, oh, Nomura-san is taking too much time.
I saw
this game is, you know, being delayed. It's not even going to exist. I'll believe them when I have it in my hands, but not a moment
2018
sooner.
Days over 2 was a popular joke that I saw is the actual release.
Yeah, I saw that too. The thing is, you know, Nomura said here that, you know, he sees these references and these jokes people make online, and it actually, he says, has caused him tremendous emotional distress.
Aww.
Which, like, for me, like, that's awful. And then he also talked about how basically he's been trying to get this game moving forward for years, but there was just setbacks due to the company that he had no control over. And his actual statement was, and I quote, I wanted to emphasize that it wasn't a problem on our development teams. It just happened this way, and there are some decisions that the company had to make, and it just didn't work out for certain timings that we were hoping to hit. It's kind of out of my hands. Yes, time has passed, but it's out of my hands.
Well, I mean, the point about, you know, you also talked about that they switched to Unreal Engine, and that means they had to backtrack a bit. But, I mean,
you know, they didn't have the personnel that they were supposed to have.
I mean, you have to think
for a long
about,
time, the internal personnel that the team had access to was very limited.
And, I mean, we're probably going to go into this more when we do our Final Fantasy XIV episode. You know, Square has, for the past couple of years, I mean, I feel like only now starting to really come back around, but Square was really going through some rough times.
Well, I mean, basically since the big delays that plagued Final Fantasy XII. If you think back to XII, it ended up delayed at the zero hour for like an additional year. Final Fantasy XIII was supposed to be a PS2 game back then, and XII was delayed so bad that XIII got pushed back to PS3.
Right.
XIII got pushed back repeatedly. We had the incredible flop of Final Fantasy XIV that then all development personnel, all personnel internally at Square Enix, had to drop their own projects only to work on 14 for like a solid year.
Versus 13 in that saga.
And then all personnel having to do the same thing to bring 15 together. So, you know, it's easy to blame Nomura, but if you really look at this, he's only involved in a small fraction of that stuff.
I guess he was pulled off of the 7 remake too, right?
No. So anyway, what are your thoughts overall? I really need to start wrapping up here.
I think the Toy Story world looks amazing. And I'm just excited. I mean, the game looks gorgeous. It's going to play amazingly, I'm sure. I mean, the Kingdom Hearts games already arguably play even better than 15 does.
I don't think that's arguable. And I like 15.
So, I mean, you know the saying, life's like a poop, you can't rush a good one.
I've never heard that.
You've never heard that? Wow. But anyway. yes, Kingdom Hearts 3. My heart goes out to Nomura that, like, he was emotionally distressed over this. Because, I mean, you know, like, games development is no joke.
Yeah, right? Like, games development is hard. And I know we all want to pin these kinds of delays and stuff on, like, a single person's shoulder. But nothing Nomura has said while talking about the Kingdom Hearts 3 delays, now that he's finally really truly addressing them, none of it rings false to me. Like, this all seems really realistic to what we have observed in Square Enix on the sort of macro level. Like, yeah, Square Enix has been a mess since the Final Fantasy XII delay fiasco.
Yeah, that's true.
And it really truly feels like it's only gotten solved and really back on track just in the last year, I would say.
Yeah.
They finally got 15 out and it isn't a terrible game, and we're now getting Kingdom Hearts 3 in a reasonable timeline from now, I believe. Things are looking up.
Will be coming sometime too.
Yeah, so that's, you know, we did get a brief mention that they said, you know, a lot of work on 7 is remake is done. In some ways it's further along than Kingdom Hearts 3. I think we're gonna see episode 1 of the 7 remake in 2018 too.
Excellent.
But we will see.
Yeah. So I have a trio of Nintendo's news fritters here for you.
Oh yeah? Lay them on me.
Well, the first one is that Nintendo officially has announced the end of production of the new Nintendo 3DS console in Japan. That's the little guy with the faceplates. You know, those faceplates never really took off, even in Japan, did they? I mean, there were, like, next to none available here, but...
Yeah, they, you know, they did make them, and they were available in stores in theory, but they were not produced in vast quantities.
Because I had asked you to keep an eye out, and you were like, yeah, there really weren't any notable ones when you were in Japan. So, of course, there'll still be the 3DS... New 3DS XL will still be, you know, available, and the new 2DS XL as well, or LL, I guess we should say, right?
Correct.
Our next piece of news is kind of a little bit of Culture Club, so controversial adjacent, and that is that people are not having it with the voice chat for the Nintendo Switch, because, you know, with Splatoon 2, the Nintendo Switch app has allowed, you know, Splatoon 2 players to voice chat, but, you know, it's very less than ideal for a lot of people. For example, if you, like, get a phone call, it'll disconnect you from the voice chat, because, I mean, it's all done through the phone, and a lot of people think that it is really stupid, and a lot of people are, like, really upset about it. How do you feel about this?
So I am not the right person to ask for...
That's me, too.
...an opinion on this. I appreciate that everyone should always have options, and Nintendo is clearly not catering to the desires of their fans here, and that sucks. For my own uses. Hold on here. Yeah. I played 6 hours of Splatoon 2 yesterday. I got no messages from other players about how shitty I did. And believe me, there were matches where I was terrible. I didn't have to hear anyone come through because they were on my team, but calling other people fags or noobs or, you know, any of that nonsense. For me, I'm perfectly fine with this. People who want to chat have their impressive array of hoops they have to jump through to do it. And while it always sucks for things to be gated off like that, for my uses, it ended up in a much more positive multiplayer online experience than pretty much any other I've had on console. You know, even playing something like Destiny, I would end up getting hate messages from people. I ain't even that good at Destiny, but I'd go into PvP, I'd take first, you know, I'd have my banner that talks about, you know, I'm a gay gamer because, you know, the clan I'm in or whatever is like the Rainbow Gamers. And I would get so many shitty messages from randos that I never even heard of calling me really awful things and not having to deal with any of the other people shit in Splatoon 2 has been awesome. So I'm not the person to ask about this, but again, it must be said, I am in the vast minority here. A lot of people are mad about this, and Nintendo probably really does need to get their shit together and cater to that audience. Yeah. I just hope it's not in Splatoon 2, because I'd like to continue having fun without a bullet, without a, I love this, but it's stressful for me even when I'm doing well.
Yeah, it just seems with a lot of the online stuff that Nintendo misses the mark for a lot of people for what they want.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm also sympathetic to Nintendo as far as their lack of interactivity from player to player, because, you know, they had that situation with the...
Not Snapchat, but...
Swap Note. Where basically people were sending unsolicited dick pics to children. Like, that's a problem. And I know everyone's like, well, other people do it, so maybe Nintendo just needs to deal with it on a case-by-case. I get what you're saying, but that's not what Nintendo's about, and I'm not going to say that's a good thing for everyone, but I'm glad I'm not seeing unsolicited dick pics.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm definitely glad that, you know, my nephews and nieces that have Nintendo consoles aren't. So, something to be said for it, I guess.
Well, this last piece of Nintendo news here is that a data miner named Shiny Quagsire, which is a Pokemon reference, found some text within the latest system update for the Wii U that says the Miiverse service has ended. So, Miiverse is still available, but... I think
it's a matter of time at this point. And it sucks because for me, Miiverse is one of the coolest features of the Wii U and 3DS. Losing it sucks.
Yeah,
although we are only talking about the Wii U at this point. But yeah, so many cool drawings. How many times have we had a laugh on the Miiverse stage in Smash Bros. Because some hilarious message popped up in the background and we had to like stop for a minute until we were done laughing.
Yeah, I mean, Splatoon 2 has, you know, kind of their workaround for that. So hopefully we'll see similar functionality in the future. But, oh, poor Miiverse.
Yeah. And the last news story I wanted to talk about here is that Sonic is leaving Archie Comics. The Sonic the Hedgehog license is no longer with Archie Comics. Unfortunately, even the storylines that were currently going, including the really fantastic Sonic Mega Drive spinoff, are just never going to be finished. The Sonic Master license for comics is now going to be over at IDW. And I think it really sucks. You know, this actually was the longest running licensed comic in American comics industry.
Wow.
So it just really sucks. What about you? What do you think, Slaggy?
Yeah, I mean, for the first couple years, was pretty seriously reading those Archie Sonic comics. I mean, they were cheesy as heck, but, I mean, you know, like I said, I was reading, you know, very early on, and this is somewhat coming from someone who really was not a big comic book reader, so it's sad to see, you know, that little part of history ending.
Indeed. All right, well, that about wraps it up for our news dive, so let's wind down and talk about what's up.
I said, hey, what's going on?
All So this week, as I noted, I've been playing a lot of Gundam Versus. I think it's a really great game, probably the best of the Gundam Versus franchise to date. I've been playing BlazBlue Central Fiction, which has been super fun. I imported the PS4 release of Dengeki Bunko Fighting Climax Ignition.
Ooh.
You know, I had previously had the non-Ignition version. Been really enjoying playing the Ignition version, having a lot of fun with it. I actually think that's just a really great game. Little basic, but don't hurt nobody. Playing Splatoon 2, played a ton yesterday. I think that Splatoon 2 is better than the first game in every possible way. And it feels really tremendous to be able to say that. You know, it was one of those things when Splatoon 2 was announced, a lot of us were a little bit like, is this really a game of its own? Like, it seems like an expansion of the first one. And I felt that way too. Now that I've played it, like, no, this actually does feel pretty fresh. Like, I'm really feeling this.
Good.
So yeah, I can't wait to play more. I'll probably play a little more tonight before I go to bed.
Excellent.
Let's see. And then the last thing, Final Fantasy 15 or 14, sorry. Having a great time leveling, finally just wrapping up the Heavensward content and gonna be going into Stormblood pretty soon. Hopefully by the time we record our next episode, which will not be one of our online Final Fantasy episodes yet, but we're getting there. It would just be a little silly to talk about Final Fantasy 14 without having played the current content, so
right.
Gotta get there. What about you, Saggy? What have you been playing?
So, mostly been Final Fantasy 14. Today, actually, just finally, because I had taken a break, not taken a break, but I had...
Had a few days where you didn't play?
No, I mean, I had shifted my focus in-game to really working on Dark Knight, but then I got distracted from that. I was working on Dragoon for a little bit. It's so easy to just get, you know, like, because you just have to equip a new weapon, and then there's your job, basically. So, you know, it's so easy to, for people who like to have alts, like me, to just do everything in that game. But I really buckled down, especially this past week. Just today, got my Dark Knight job to 60, and so finally embarking on that Stormblood content, just barely getting my foot in that today, but looking forward to moving forward with that. Also, just very barely started Dream Daddy, which, you know, it had a little bit of a delay. A lot of people, that was kind of a so controversial thing. I wasn't able to find any, like, news bits about it, but...
And we wouldn't have talked about it this week anyway.
Yeah, but so far, like, you know, a lot of us have been worried about it being, like, you know, LOL gays, but, you know, no, it seems, like, really respectful. I've come to understand that a lot of the staff is, you know, identifies on the LGBT spectrum.
Well, something that really came out after that initial announcement, you know, it initially seemed like this was a Game Grumps game, but it really turned out to be an indie game that actually on its own had little to do with the Game Grumps up until several of them were cast as voice actors in the game. And then they started to throw their weight behind promotion and stuff, but it really doesn't sound like they were particularly involved in the development.
We're
going to
make
a
game for gays.
Yeah, that is, as far as I'm aware, not what happened.
Yeah, but so far I really enjoy it. You know, I mean, it seems like it's been, like, really popular. I've seen some gay friends of mine on, like, Facebook and stuff who I wouldn't really consider gamers talking about, oh, Dream Daddy, am I anyone's Dream Daddy? You know, like, I don't even know if they're going to play it, but, I mean, just the fact that they're talking about a dating sim, it's like, what?
2017
so far,
wild, y'all.
So far, the writing, really clever, a lot of fun dad jokes, but, like, really clever so far, so I'm really looking forward to dating a lot of the daddies.
Excellent. Yeah, I downloaded it, but I haven't played it yet. I'm really hoping to this weekend.
Oh, there is an achievement name that you're going to be super happy about.
All right. Do you have anything else?
No, but I do want to take it over to our Twitter, where we have quite a stream of tweets to catch up on. So I'm going to do some rapid-fire Twitter. We have Xeon Char saying, I imported to play niche Mobile Suit Gundam titles, as well as Super Robot Wars on PlayStation and Saturn. Oh, man.
I think when I talked about importing and was talking about, like, oh, my high school friends and I and eBaying, you know, Super Robot Wars and getting a CDR copy instead, that's the person I was doing my importing with back
then. Yes. That retro code saying, amazing show as always for our import gaming episode. Thank you so much. We have your enzyme saying, was the both fans a subtle jab at the Sonic fandom? I do not remember the reference that we made, but I feel like when we talk about, like, all of our fan, like, joking, like, it might have been a joke about, like, oh, nobody listens to us, but we know that's not true. But back in the day, we used to say, like, oh, all of your fans. So I'm not sure if I'm referring to what you are thinking of. I'll have to go back and follow up on that. Your enzyme saying, do you think that the increase in importers may just be proportional to the increase in gamers? Both markets have increased. Who knows if they grew at the same rate? Any quick thoughts on that?
You know, it's kind of impossible with the data that I have to respond to that the way it really deserves. I think that you make a really fantastic point. I think that you are probably keyed into something that is correct and true, but I don't have hard data to really say for sure one way or another. That having been said, bottom line, I do believe there's an increase in importers. I do feel confident that that is a true statement. I just don't know if it is or is not proportional to the increase in gamers as well.
Another tweet from your enzyme. One day you two should try and struggle through a shade-free episode, LOL.
I think we did today.
We did. I mean, like, not shading each other, like kind of shading ourselves together maybe a little bit. But, yeah, I think we were pretty shade-free, but maybe we should do, like, a super, super unshady episode. I don't know. We have your enzyme saying shame, shame, shame with a bell emoji. Boss Baby and Minions, really? I said, I draw the line at Madagascar. He said, that isn't the right response.
So I just want to be clear. It's not like we're sober when we watch these shitty movies.
Right.
Also, I just really like bad movies. I get more enjoyment out of bad movies than I do out of good movies most of the time. Mm-hmm. Largely, especially these big productions where hundreds of people are working on animating like every frame. And it's like, think about the man hours that went into making Boss Baby. Like, if that doesn't ratchet up the absurdity of watching
people
that,
got,
the
got,
surreal absurdity of
people
it.
People got rich making Boss Baby.
Dude, right? Exactly. It's someone, just a whole...
Someone
whole...
working on Boss Baby will have a more comfortable life than I will ever have.
Yeah, that is a true statement.
Your enzyme also linked us to the BlazBlue cross tag battle trailer with
yes.
a bunch of exclamation points. Edward14 asking if we could shout out. So we did a retweet. It's for the HavenCon in Texas, which there looks like they're crowdfunding ends today. So I haven't had a chance to follow up. I really hope that they made it. It's a queer gaming convention in Austin, Texas. Really hoping that they made their funding goal.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I would love to visit that convention someday, by the by.
Yeah, I've always wanted to go to Austin. Edward Wong's saying, if it happens, we should do a panel. So I would love to if it would work out. So, fingers crossed, we'll have to follow up afterwards. I didn't quite get a chance to because I know it was just today that the funding ended. So, or the crowdfunding campaign ended. All right, well, with that, we thank you for your feedback. We love your feedback. We love your iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, etc. Subscriptions, ratings, reviews. We like your Facebook likes. We effing love Twitter. You can mail us at mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
Mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
And our home base is gamebuoy.org.
Gamebuoy.org.
But we are also available at the
Voice of Geeks Network over at VogNetwork.com. And while you're there, you can also check out Girls Gone WoW, where you can get a female's perspective on the world's most popular MMO. Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice and from whom we steal so many of our cues. The Ranger Pridecast, where you can hear myself and Shane Alenko talk about the current season of the Power Rangers meta series, as well as the current season of the Super Sentai metaseries upon which it's based. Last but not least, for VOG at least, is the Starboard Power Coupling Podcast, a Star Trek podcast you hope doesn't fail. I'd be remiss not to mention our good buddies over at the Nintendo Love Fest, which does exactly what it says on the tin. I had some great matches with Anthony over there in Splatoon last night. Had great fun. Big ups to you if you're listening to this. I was terrible.
Oh, I bet.
But I often am. We still won some, so it's all good. You should also check out their sister show, X-Nation, an awesome podcast focusing on Marvel's Mighty Mutants, and Reading is Fundamental, which is Slagkick's show, where he, myself, Rob Roberts from Orange Lodge Radio, and Delvin from VG Realness talk about the current season of RuPaul's Drag Race. Because there is no current season, that show's on hiatus, but it'll be back at you when Ru and the girls are, and hopefully I will be too. Slaggy, take us a place.
I'm going to take you to a game bar. Game Bar is the gay video game Prairie Home Companion and a part of the Hunty Bunch, along with Video Game Realness, serving up a dose of gaming chit-chat among friends. The Magical Boys podcast, formerly known as the Joystick Jockeys, which is now not just a video game podcast, but a pop culture podcast from a queer perspective, serving anime, all sorts of pop culture, good stuff, comics, video games, love it. And I'd like to shout out to our allies at the Nintendo Fun Club, your place for platformers, positivity, and pop punk. All great things that I love. I'd like to shout out to our sister shows. You can tell that we're getting at the end of the episode because I'm getting a little tongue-tied. Anime Buoy is your port of call for anime recommendations, news bits, and discussions that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. We're going to be doing a summer anime preview episode, so look forward to that. And we're looking forward to getting more Anime Buoy out there for you, as well as Stabcast, which is short for the same type of tactic. Bonus podcast, your twice monthly look at the deeper worlds of Pokemon, which myself and Captain Spike are trainers over there with Trainer Sulker, and bringing you all the Pokemon news and muse. Also, our wonderful theme music was done by Zelda Reorchestrated, the project that aimed to reorchestrate beautiful Zelda music into gorgeous symphonic sound. They unfortunately closed their doors quite a while back, but will forever be pouring out a 4D into the Great Fairy Fountain in remembrance of them.
All right, my good friends out there in Internet Radio Land, thank you so much for spending this lovely Saturday night with us. I hope you've had half as much fun listening as we've had talking. Unfortunately, we have several other podcasts that still need to be recorded tonight, so we definitely need to get the heck out of here.
A podcast pirate's life for me.
Right. We will see you again shortly, but until then, keep gaming.
Keep gaming.
Keep thinking.
Keep thinking.
And you must defeat Shenlong to stand a chance.
Wait, is that a Dragon Ball thing?
Please speak in your mic for me.
Save on gold with Amazon coins.